606 on the Central Coast. I'm Dave Congleton, Hometown Radio. 6 o'clock hour for this Thursday, November 21st, 2019. Good to be with you. Tomorrow, what do we have? Greer Eubanks will be here with our Pet of the Week from County Animal Services. John Lynn's sending us two pies. We're getting both a pumpkin pie and a pecan pie. Our friends from the food bank are going to be here because it sounds like they're going to go have a new name change. Marco Rizzo from Cafe Roma is going to join us. Conservative Bob asked to come in to talk not so much about politics but about history. You know, he's a history buff, and tomorrow is the anniversary of the Kennedy assassination in Dallas, and I was just there over Labor Day. So we'll get Bob whatever time he needs. Always enjoy his conversations. That's what we're looking at for Friday. Sam Cotton thought it would be interesting and fun to talk about this new movie that's zooming up the box office. It's just doing gangbusters. It's called Ford versus Ferrari, and it's based on a true story. And he has seen the movie, and he is here with his report. Actually, Sam, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Dave?
I'm good, sir.
Actually, it's Ford v. Ferrari.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's, yeah, I call it Ford versus Ferrari, but it's Ford v. Ferrari. That's the title that's on the marquee and on the poster.
Craig, will you see this movie?
Yes. I'll definitely see it.
Okay.
It's worth seeing.
I'm a big Ford guy. I even have the Ford stripes tattooed on my arm.
All right. You jump in anytime you want in this, buddy.
Please do. Please do.
So, what's the movie about?
Okay. Back in the late 50s, early 60s, Ford Motor Company was undergoing some real problems. They had a budget crisis because they lost so much money on the Edsel. And it was the wrong car, the wrong time. So what they're doing is they're trying to rebrand themselves as a car for younger people, a company that makes cars for younger people. The Mustang hadn't come out yet. It wasn't even on the drawing boards. So you had the Thunderbird, which was a pretty nice car. And it was actually the equivalent of the Corvette back then, because the first couple of years of the Corvette was a six-cylinder automatic transmission fiberglass-bodied car. It was,
as opposed to the Corvair, which is what our family had.
Well, the Corvair actually came out in contest with the Falcon, and the Corvair, and honestly, was not a bad car. Yeah. So anyway. They had the Thunderbird, but in 58, they made the Thunderbird a four-seater and took all sportiness away from it. And the Corvette just kept getting bigger and, I mean, faster and more horsepower and like that. So they're trying to identify kind of a sporty kind of thing. Drag racing was just starting. NASCAR, yeah, Ford had some entries in NASCAR, but Ford didn't really have anything competitive in drag racing or sports car racing. So about that time, Carroll Shelby comes to Lee Iacocca and said, hey, you give me $25,000 and a couple of engines, a couple of 289s or 260s, cubic inch V8s, I'll build you a race car. And that started the Shelby Cobra.
And who is Carroll Shelby? I've heard the name.
Carroll Shelby was the only American to ever win Le Mans at that time. He was he was a chicken farmer. He was a pilot. He was a race car driver. And he was really good. Really good. Big guy. About 6'4".
And Matt Damon plays him in the movie.
Yeah, it's wrong. Wrong. Yeah. They should have had Vince Vaughn play him in the movie. Vince Vaughn's the same size and has the right hair. They had to give Matt Damon a perm to to make it work. Shelby had really curly hair. Matter of fact, when Iacocca met Shelby the first time, he says, damn, that's a good-looking man. So I don't know. But Shelby was he had a lot of charisma. He was a salesman. He was also a con artist and went bankrupt multiple times. With his goal was to spend opium, other people's money. And he did that very well. So anyway, Ford said, we want to euthanize or youth up our lineup of cars. And they thought, way to do that, was to get a Ferrari, you know, buy Ferrari, because they those red cars, according to Henry Ford, those red cars always win. And all of the Ferrari racing team, the cars were always red, beautiful red color. And through an intermediary in Europe, they discovered that Ferrari was for sale. He had a budget problem. His race team was so expensive to run, they built streetcars to fund the race team.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. So, and Enzo Ferrari was a race driver. He was, they referred to him as the commander. And that's the way he ran the company. It was his company. So Ford reached out. They spent a couple $1 million auditing Ferrari. And when they presented the offer, Ferrari was all for it till he found out that they weren't going to let him run the race team. Because they didn't want him racing Ferrari engine cars at Indianapolis, because Ford had some Ford engine cars, the Lotus, they're running in Indianapolis, and they didn't want him competing with their cars. So they weren't going to let him run the race team. So he called off the deal and said some very unflattering things about Ford Motor Company and Henry Ford II. He goes, "You're not Henry Ford. You're Henry Ford II." And that just infuriated Henry Ford, who was Henry Ford's grandson. He was Edsel Ford's son. So Ford said, "You know what?" This is Henry Ford II. Said, "We're going to build a car. We're going to beat Ferrari at his own game. We're going to bury him at the finish line at Le Mans, 6 feet deep." So they reached out. They came up with an idea to take a British car, British road racing car, called a Lola, a Mark VI, which was a very advanced, very good mid-engine race car. And so the first Ford GTs and the GT40s were built in England. And they were called GT40s because the car was 40 inches tall. So just a little over a meter tall. A small car. You look at them on the screen, you don't think they're that small. But there's a big cutout. The door cuts into the roof. So when you open the door, you step into the car and put your hands on the top of the windshield and then slide under the steering wheel. Wow. That's how small that car is. They only weighed like 2,500 pounds, and they had like 500 horsepower. And so in 1964, they entered a bunch of them at Le Mans, and not one car finished. And matter of fact, not one Ford GT40 finished any race in 64. And Ferrari won again in 64 at Le Mans. They had won 1960, 61, 62, 63, and they won again at 64, big time. So Ford gets infuriated. He reaches out to Iacocca. Iacocca talks to Shelby, and they say, "Let's go to war.
Let's go to break."
Okay.
Sam Cotton on this broadcast telling the story behind the hit movie Ford v. Ferrari. We'll come back and pick up the story and talk about other racing movies as well. I'm Dave Congleton. Craig Hill's here too. This is AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC.
KVEC.
This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Sam Cotton is here with us. He is enthusiastically telling the story of Ford v. Ferrari. Hit movie out and about now. Matt Damon, Christian Bale. Getting great reviews. Talk of Oscar nominations. Check it out. Let's bring our good friend Tom Mattson into the conversation. Tom, good evening.
Good evening, David. I haven't seen the movie yet, and I would want to see it really bad. And as soon as I get out of this stinking hospital, I'm going to go see it.
I'll spoil it for you. Ford wins at the end.
And boy, did they ever. I knew, because they're both dead. I knew both Carroll Shelby and Ken Miles.
Wow.
Ken was, if they portray me as being caustic, short of patience, and not tolerating fools, then they did a right good job.
Well, what they did is they took a notoriously difficult actor in Christian Bale, and his role was a notoriously difficult car driver, race driver. So it's typecasting, and he nails it. He's great in the role. I really think he's going to get an Academy Award nomination.
I actually worked hand-in-hand with Ken on the Dolphin sports car.
Wow.
He had absolutely zero tolerance for anybody who was less intelligent than he was. And he was also probably one of the most driven men I've ever met.
He was an engineer plus an amazing driver. He held a record in a 427 Cobra, which is a very difficult car to drive. Standing start 0 to 100 miles an hour and back to 0 in 12 seconds. No anti-lock brakes, no traction control, no nothing. The guy just drove. And that record held for years.
Hmm.
So
yeah, he used to take that little Porsche of his and absolutely blow Ferraris off with it, but it was technically impossible to do, but he did it.
But nobody told him.
No, no. And you didn't argue with Ken.
No. No, he, everything I've read about him, very, very impressive. Right after he died, they inducted him into the Race Drivers Hall of Fame.
Well, if they ever found an ounce of fat on him, I don't know where they found it. He was the skinniest guy I've ever met.
Well, Bale had to lose 70 pounds to do the role.
70?
70. Because he had just finished doing Dick Cheney, and he bulked up for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bale has a reputation for... He got down to 130 pounds for his role in The Mechanic.
I remember that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else, Tom? Anything else?
Well, just to say, Carroll Shelby was just the opposite. He was a great race driver, by the way.
Oh, Carroll he really was, yeah.
But his heart kind of got in the way. But the thing that he was the best at was slinging the brown stuff. He was a bull slinger from the word go. He could sell anybody anything.
And
always had a habit of landing in the pot of honey in the process.
I remember when he introduced the Cobra, the Shelby Cobra. He had one completed one, and it was originally painted yellow. Then he painted it blue, and then he painted it red and took it around to all the magazines. So they thought he had more than one car.
Wow.
So they would test, and he still that car was in the Shelby Museum. When I saw it, when we visited there.
Where's the Shelby Museum?
It's in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And if you look underneath the car, it was painted blue again. But if you look underneath the car, you can see the yellow paint where it had been scraped off.
He was really a character. He and my wife did not get along, by the way.
I can see that. He had a habit.
He tried to bully her.
Yeah, had a habit of being fast and loose with the truth.
Yeah. All right,
Tom. Yeah.
Thank you for calling in, Tom. Good to hear from you. Sam Cotton is here. We're talking about this movie, Ford v. Ferrari. Before we went to break, you said that Ford was getting ready to go to war.
Okay, they were going to war. So they came out in 64 with a bunch of GT40s. They raced at Le Mans. Every one of them broke. They didn't finish a single race that whole year. So... engine was too small, transmission broke, brakes were failing. So they updated the engine. They put a 7-liter, 427 cubic inch Ford NASCAR motor that was detuned slightly. And they put a single four barrel on it. Thing was a beast of an engine, but it would last. And it got them over 200 miles an hour down the Mulsanne Straight, which is this long straight. And at the end of that straight, there's a 30 mile an hour turn. So... and that's very, very hard on the brakes. And they had to completely redesign the interior of the car to handle that. Engine, the weight, the horsepower, the speed. And go ahead.
I was just asking, so how much is the car versus how much is the driver in terms of the success?
You win when the car and the driver are equal. And with Ken Miles is just like Parnelli Jones can't remember his name. The Hispanic driver. Come on, Sam, think.
I'm looking at Craig.
Andretti. And the Italian driver, sorry. Okay. Anyway, Andretti and Miles and I'm drawing a blank now. And Parnelli Jones, you give them a car, they'll give you 110% of what that car can do. And that's why Miles won. He was literally miles ahead of everybody in the 66 Le Mans race. But anyway, get back 65. The GT40 won Daytona, won Sebring. It smoked everybody. They get it to Le Mans, and then Ford Motor Company says, we're going to put different engines in them. So they put different engines in, and not one car finished the race. Ferrari won again. So that's when Henry Ford II comes to Carroll Shelby, and he says, okay, do it your way. And they came back in 1966. Ken Miles driving the GT40 won Daytona 24 hours of Daytona. They won the 12 hours of Sebring and finished 1-2-3 at Le Mans. And that 1-2-3 finish, which was the idea of the Ford PR people, cost Ken Miles the win. It would have been a triple crown. And
he was supposed to slow down.
He did slow down.
Yeah, he was.
He was a mile.
He was a mile ahead or something. He told him to slow down.
Yep.
To get that photo.
Yep. And what happened was they all crossed at the same time, roughly. So Le Mans called it a gang finish, but they gave it to car number two because it had to drive another 18 yards because it was that much further down on the starting grid, the Brabham car. So it won. Miles came in second, and he was not happy about it.
But I could see, based on the story that you have been sharing, why people would want to make this into a movie.
Oh.
Because you hear the story like, this is a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's taken them years to get it produced. Years. Nobody wanted to do it. So they gave the director a budget. They said, okay.
Mangold?
Yeah.
James Mangold?
Yeah. You got $100 million. That's it. Can't go over that. And so they didn't do any of the racing at Le Mans because Le Mans is on a the streets are of the city are part of the race course. So they have to shut down the whole city. And it would have cost them like $7 million just to film the race scenes there. So they made Agua Dulce Airport as part of the race. And that's down in Santa Clarita. So they filmed it at like six different racetracks.
I just watched a film two nights ago called Find Me. That has about a half hour filmed in Agua Dulce.
Really?
I'd never heard of this town before.
Yeah. Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
It's at the aerodrome there.
Sam Cotton is here. We're talking about, I think it's the number one movie at the box office right now.
Could be.
Ford v. Ferrari. He's giving us the history. We got news. We got traffic. We got weather. We got more of the story to hear. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. Don't forget to start your Friday morning off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor, hopefully victorious tonight. We'll have you covered with everything you need to know from 6 to 9. Followed by Mr. Rush Limbaugh from 9 until noon. Followed by Mark Wilson and our own Craig Hill from noon until 2. Well, then we'll give you a short dose of Dave Ramsey. Then Craig and I will join you at 3:05 for the Friday edition of Hometown Radio. We are back with Sam Cotton. We're talking about this movie, number one at the box office, Ford v. Ferrari, based on a true story. If you want to join in the conversation, please do. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. So, Sam, talk a little bit about the movie.
Well,
what'd you think? You liked it?
Oh, very much.
Okay.
Very much. The only weak part of the movie that I saw, you know, they do the typical Hollywood stuff. There was no fight between Shelby and Miles.
As they portray in the movie.
Yeah, that never happened. But it was neat. They were interviewing Matt Damon, and he said, here you got Jason Bourne and Batman fighting it out, you know. And all over, they used a loaf of bread as a weapon because Miles had just come from the grocery store. And he said, you got two middle-aged guys that fell on the ground and were out of breath within, you know, a minute of wrestling with each other. And that's what it would really be like, rather than these extended fight. Anyway, that never happened. And there's a scene in which Shelby takes Henry Ford II for a test drive around the Ford track. And that never happened.
I've seen that in the trailer.
Yeah. That never happened. They would have never let Ford set foot in that car.
What is it about the movie you like so much? And do you have to be a car person to enjoy the movie?
No, because I went with two car guys and their wives who are not car people, and they loved it. Absolutely loved it. Great acting, great story. There's no computer-generated car racing effects. Everything you see when it deals with the cars is 100% real. When they crashed the Ferraris there at Le Mans, they had a sort of a rocket launcher thing that they put the car in and shot it down the track and then left it there in pieces that the oncoming drivers had to drive around, just like it would have been at Le Mans. So it wasn't anywhere, not like the Fast and Furious thing, where you got CGI cars doing stuff that you just can't do. And they actually sent Christian Bale to the Bob Bondurant School of Racing.
Bob Bondurant School of Racing.
Yeah, that's in Arizona. And Bondurant is a multiple-time big race winner. And he raced at Le Mans. He raced for Ferrari. He was driving for Ford. And Ferrari hired him away. And so he raced for Ferrari the year that Ford won. And so he was there, and he spent a lot of time with Bale, telling Bale all about the ins and outs of what really happened.
I've put together some of the more famous racing movies. Just give me, I don't know if you've seen these all, but let me just see if you have any thoughts about them. One, Le Mans.
Fantastic film. No dialogue. Absolutely no
dialogue. That's a Steve McQueen movie.
Yeah. No dialogue in that movie. But it shows the speed. It shows, and again, no special effects. They used the real cars from Le Mans. They had 917 Porsches. They had the Ferraris. And 917 Porsche was, one of the most influential race cars of all time. They're amazing.
And this was Steve McQueen's passion project.
Oh absolutely.
Because he was a racer.
Yeah. A very good driver, too.
Winning.
Okay.
Paul Newman.
Yep. I'm not really. I can't remember that movie that well.
Well, that says everything you need to know.
Yeah. Then there's Grand Prix.
Grand Prix,
which is with James Garner in it. Amazing movie.
Rush.
Oh, I loved it. That's a story.
That was a Ron Howard movie.
Yes, the story of the the conflict between Niki Lauda and James Hunt. And Hunt was a playboy and would show up to race hungover, drunk, and he was just an amazing driver. And Niki Lauda was on the other side of the coin. He was Austrian, I believe, and very, very straight-laced. And then when Lauda almost died in a car crash and burned up, pretty substantial scarring. And they became extremely good friends.
How about Craig's favorite, Stroker Ace?
That's a great movie.
It's a fun movie. It's a fun movie. And then what was the one with Richard Pryor in it?
As a racer?
A race movie?
Yeah.
With
Richard Pryor. He plays a NASCAR kind of driver.
I do not know that
Richard
one.
Pryor?
Richard Pryor. And I cannot remember the name of it.
Well, don't forget Talladega Nights.
Oh, come on.
That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It probably made more money than all these other ones combined.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I've been a little hesitant. There's other reasons, but to see this movie is, whenever they do period movies, like race movies, war movies, is there so much CGI these days because it's just cheaper to throw in fake cars in the background, and I can see it, and it totally takes me out of it. The fact that you said There's no CGI cars in this in the race. That makes me want to see it.
They even duplicated the tires of the period. And what they did is they couldn't afford the real Firestone tires mm-hmm. from there because they're hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and they went through so many of them. They got a sort of a replica tire, and they painted the Firestone logo on all these tires, hundreds of tires. Mm-hmm. And the people were saying, well, nobody's going to see that. And yet you can, when you're looking at the tire going around, you can see the Firestone logo on the tires. I mean, it's amazing. And all of the cars in the movie were replicas, but they were done so well. I mean, right down to the appropriate decals, everything looked correct. Even the stuff that they had in the background. And then they only had one scene in Le Mans, the actual city of Le Mans. And the museum there at Le Mans had a real GT40 in the museum, and they approached the film guys and said, "You want to use it in your movie?" Of course. They even got a real GT40 and a real Ferrari, and recorded the sound. And they just didn't get the sound of the exhaust pipes on the GT40. They put microphones on the transmission, on the rear axle, inside the cab to make it.
So you're there.
Yeah. And that's why you want to see it in the theater, because the sound system is so much better than most people's home theater.
In fact, it's showing at the Fair Oaks Theater. They have an 8 o'clock show.
Well, let's go.
People can make it by 8 o'clock tonight.
Fair Oaks has great popcorn, free refills, and they have toppings you can put on your popcorn. And the guy that owns it's a car guy.
Larry, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they also have that, $5 snack pack. You got a drink. Popcorn and a little candy thing for $5.
Can't beat it. And it's cheaper than, you know, the admission's a little cheaper there. Good seats. They have those stadium seating.
It's our neighborhood theater in South County.
I love it.
Sam Cotton is here. We're talking about Ford v. Ferrari. Of all these movies, what's the best of movie, though, the ones we just made? Le Mans winning, Grand Prix, Talladega Nights, Rush, or Stroker Ace? Which is the best?
If you're a car guy, it's got to be Le Mans. I mean, it's an amazing movie.
When you watch it, and I haven't seen it in years, but it has the feel of a documentary. You feel like you're there.
Yes.
Steve McQueen, like the opening, he's just standing there 5-10 minutes before anything is said.
Yeah. That little Porsche he drives in at the movie in Le Mans. Oh, by the way, the thing at... The thing about Le Mans is it was filmed at Le Mans, and there was no CGI, no special effects. They had the cars up to speed because they took a Ford, they took a GT40 and cut it down so that they could film the other cars at speed.
Amazing. All right, yeah. We'll be back for a final segment. Sam Cotton, I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. Good to be with you this Thursday evening. Top of the hour, it's ABC Radio News. Sam Cotton is on this broadcast. Our ace researcher, Mr. Craig Hill, has the answer to the Richard Pryor movie. What did you find out, Craig?
Grease Lightning, 1977.
Funny movie.
Yeah, I had when I was thinking about it, I remember him on a dirt track, dirt road.
Yep.
It was old stock car movie.
Yep.
And that's what
stock car racing. So we add that to our list. I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
They probably have it on Netflix or... Amazon Prime.
I'm trying to think of...
Or Blockbuster. You can go to Blockbuster and get the DVD.
I haven't seen any of these movies we've talked about. I haven't seen Le Mans. I haven't seen Winning Grand Prix. I've seen a little bit of Talladega Nights. I haven't seen Rush. I've seen a little bit of Stroker Race.
Rush, it was a very well put together... You know, it's typical Ron Howard. Very well researched. Very well directed.
He hasn't had a good movie in years.
Oh, come on.
He hasn't had success. He hasn't had a successful movie
in years. Well, okay. But
Rush may have been good, but it
that's one of the reasons why it took so long to build Ferrari Ford versus Ford v Ferrari. It took so long. They were originally going to get Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt in the starring roles. And if you look at Ken Miles and you look at Christian Bale when he's lost the weight, they even look alike. And Bale is a Britisher, so he has the accent. So it was, he did an amazing job.
If you want in on the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Sam Cotton's been nice enough to come in and give us the background on this movie, Ford v. Ferrari, and talk about the racing competitions of the 1950s and 1960s. There's no TV shows. TV's never tackled this issue. It's all been in the movies.
There's been documentaries.
Yeah, but I mean TV shows.
Yeah.
The series. Who's a race driver? You don't see that.
Yeah,
I don't. Oh, wait, I forgot.
What?
Six Pack, Kenny Rogers. He was a traveling race car driver.
Oh.
With the six kids, and they all lived in the camper in the back. I loved that movie when I was a kid.
I never heard of it.
Was that a TV movie or
No. Well, no, that was a movie.
Yeah.
And it had obviously Kenny Rogers, and then there was one the one that played the daughter. It was like these six kids he just kind of took on. And she's the only one that ever became famous, and I'm trying to remember her name. Diane Lane.
Oh,
was in that.
Yeah. She was in Seabiscuit.
I saw her in Barnes & Noble one day.
Yeah.
She used to, when she was dating Josh Brolin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a good race movie.
Seabiscuit?
Well, that's a race movie.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if you watch that it wasn't Seabiscuit, it was Secretariat. And she's in that, and Secretariat's run at the Belmonts, the most amazing athletic feat I have ever seen in my life.
Here you go. When race car driver Brewster, this is Kenny Rogers, stops at a gas station in Texas, he returns to find that his race car has been stripped bare. He chases down the culprits, who turn out to be a group of mechanically inclined orphans, led by young Breezy, Diane Lane, and her brother Doc, Anthony Michael Hall. But Brewster learns that the local sheriff, Barry Corbin, has blackmailed the kids into doing his illegal bidding. So the race car driver decides to take on the poor orphans as his pit crew. 1982, directed by Daniel Petrie. Who did The Candidate, one of the great political movies of all time.
How about Elvis in Speedway?
Oh,
that was a great movie because that had tons of real stock car footage.
We have a phone call.
That's could be somebody complaining about the show. One never knows. Have you ever seen Speedway?
Oh, with Elvis?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's a typical Elvis movie. It's, you know, they got the screen in the background where he's sitting in the car. And
Pat's on KVEC. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Pat. Thank you.
I got to tell you that the movie comes from a book that was written called Go Like Hell.
Yep.
And about 4 years ago, somebody gave it to me as a Christmas present, and it was an old beat-up hardback or soft book. And the wife and I fought about reading it, and she doesn't even like that stuff. And great, great story. And they captured a good portion of it in the movie.
So you've seen the movie?
Oh, geez. at the end of the movie, everybody clapped. You don't see that every day.
Same way with me.
Why was your wife fighting to read the book?
Because it was so well written and it was interesting. It was just well written.
Oh, I see. So you were taking turns reading it.
We read it out loud to each other.
I've heard couples do that.
I grew up with a friend of mine, Offenhauser, and it was his grandfather that had all the Indy cars, Offenhauser motors in them. And there was like a sentence or a paragraph in there about the Offenhauser in the book, and it was like pretty exciting to get that.
Oh, that's cool.
But the movie was just very well done, and to see people who are not car people clapping at the presentation was pretty nice.
Where'd you see it?
At the Royal.
Okay.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good.
Go see it.
Pat, thank you for calling. Yes, it's at the Regal in Arroyo Grande. It's at
Fair Oaks,
for sure. I'm sure it's the downtown center.
I'm sure, too.
I'm sure it's in Santa Maria. I'm sure it's up in Atascadero. It's the number one movie at the box office.
It may even be in Morro Bay.
Don't know. I'm sure it's up in Paso, too.
Yep.
It's where I was playing at a theater near you, but it is long.
Yeah, it's about 2.5+ hours long. But, you know, it doesn't seem that long.
That's a sign of a good movie.
Yeah. I wasn't checking my watch during the whole thing. I was eating
You do that?
Yeah, eating my popcorn and drinking my Coke.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Did this race change things forever, or did Ferrari come roaring back?
No. They never recovered.
Hmm.
They never recovered. I'm looking at the Le Mans winners. Porsche came back and started spanking everybody. Peugeot, Porsche 956. I don't see any Ferraris on here.
The car, the Ford that won the race, what happened to it?
It's in it's in the Ford Museum, I think. But it still exists.
Do they go into the dismantling of the race team when Ford decides to pull out of Le Mans racing? Do they go into that at all?
No. The movie essentially ends with Miles' death.
Well, hey!
Miles Davis.
He does the national
anthem.
No.
And gets hit by a car.
Hey! I didn't know about that until 2 days ago. Don't go there.
But you already knew.
I know now.
Well, I'm just wondering about if they go into the dismantling, because that was a big hit to Carroll Shelby, was Ford says, all right, we've done all the winning we're going to do. We're done. And Ford wouldn't even pay the freight to ship the cars back to the United States. And so, and this is a story from a friend of mine whose dad was involved with it. They offered the cars up to the guys on the race team, the mechanics. Anyone wanted to buy one, you can buy them because it's just a used race car. And at the time, I think it was like $5,000 or $15,000, but you had to pay the shipping back to the U.S. And his dad didn't want to pay for that.
Well, one of them wound up in the Le Mans Museum, so that's about that. But Shelby didn't have much to do with the Ford team after '67.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want you to spoil the ending.
You know, he's been dead a long time.
I know.
So I'm not telling any secrets out of school.
You know what I've started doing is I started going to Wikipedia. When movies come out, I read the plot summary so that I pretty much know what's happening.
Yeah,
and that tells me whether or not I really want to go see a movie.
But that's going to ruin it for you. I remember a couple weeks ago, I told you there's this movie that's pretty good, but it's got an amazing twist to it. And I wouldn't tell you what the amazing twist is. And you come in the next day and you tell me what the twist is.
Yeah, I read about it.
Well, then you don't enjoy the twist when it happens.
Yeah.
You're just like killing the movie.
No, I now I know what to watch for. I don't know. It's the older I get, it's a different movie experience. Like, I went and read the summary of Joker because I'm trying to figure out, do I want to spend $10 and go through that? And I'm still on the fence about seeing that movie.
But you go beyond the summary. Like, you're the guy who's like, oh, Darth Vader's his father? No, I don't want to see that now. Just totally killing it.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to see Joker.
Yeah.
This is the first movie that I've gone to at the theater for quite a while.
I would see this movie. I may see Joker. I'm this weekend, I want to go see the Mr. Rogers movie.
Good.
I just
feel
like
great racing in that movie.
Cardigan, you know, one of his cardigans is in the Smithsonian.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that would be appropriate.
Absolutely.
We got 3 minutes.
He was a nice man.
Yeah, one of a kind.
The other movie that's ostensibly a racing movie is called Gumball Rally. And it's a story of the Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy Dash.
That's my brother's favorite race movie of all time.
Yeah, Gumball Rally.
Who's in that? Remind me.
It's got Michael Saracen, Gary Busey, Raul Julia in his first role, who absolutely steals the movie.
I love Raul Julia.
He steals the movie. And to make it authentic, they have a 427 Cobra and a Ferrari Daytona Spider in it. Either car is worth well over $1 million.
What's the movie that came out a year or two ago, Steven Soderbergh? It was... The robbery was at the race, was at the NASCAR.
Oh, not NASCAR. It was at...
the one about the two brothers?
The Italian Job.
No, it wasn't an Italian Job.
Based on a true story, two brothers who decided to rob a NASCAR track.
Yeah.
With, I call him Lunkhead. I can't remember his real name.
Yeah.
I just call him Lunkhead. Channing Tatum. And,
yes. Exactly. And they get Daniel Craig to help them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Channing Tatum.
I saw that and I went, I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Do they go into Shelby's heart condition or his history as a former racer?
Because that's why he couldn't drive.
Yeah, that's why. So he went into designing. And there's a couple of great documentaries on TV. There's the 24-Hour War on Amazon. So if you want to know the backstory, like the kids from the Grizzly Academy, they studied Alexander Hamilton in that whole period before seeing the play, and that gave them context. And I think if you want to get context before going to see this Le Mans movie, watch the 24-Hour War, and it'll give you the truth.
That's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, right now, free. If you got Prime,
do you do more Amazon Prime or more Netflix?
I do more Amazon Prime because they have, they have my favorite show right now, which is The Unforgotten.
You were telling me about this, but I never heard of it.
British crime drama. Amazing. Amazing.
I'm into the third season of The Crown. $15 million an episode. It's all on the screen. Always good to have Sam Cotton on this broadcast. Thank you for coming in and sharing the background on this exciting movie.
Thanks for allowing.
Final thoughts, sir.
If you haven't seen it, even if you're not a car person, I'd recommend it. I think Christian Bale gave an Oscar-worthy performance. I wish that they would have put Vince Vaughn as Carroll Shelby. But Matt Damon does a good job. They're talking Oscar nomination for him, too. He does a good job.
The movie to watch is this Clint Eastwood movie coming out about Richard Jewell. I predict the guy playing Richard Jewell is going to get an Oscar nomination.
That was such a sad affair.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Craig. And thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.